comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome all around the world. This is the Kevin Smith Show. I'm Kevin Smith, your host, and I'm delighted you're here. We're here because you have a right to know. We're here because you matter. Now, tonight is going to be Open Line Live, and that means, of course, that it's BYOT night. That means that you can bring your own topic, and I do have some very interesting news items to throw on the table. But after that, I'll open the phone lines for you, and I hope you'll burn these lines up tonight. And hope we'll just have lots of calls and enjoy talking about all the strange and unexplained, the weird stuff going on all around the world. We have something called the K-Files. Are you familiar with that, the K-Files? Well, the K-Files is our free weekly newsletter. So if you're brand new here at the Kevin Smith Show, if this is your first time to listen to the show, you don't know about it, and you need to. There's no reason for you not to be getting our free newsletter. It's a good newsletter, and there are no strings attached. It's truly, absolutely free. To get it, all you have to do is click that big word right in the middle of your computer screen that says K-Files. So if you're not on your computer, if you're listening via radio or maybe on your cell phone or your smartphone, well, if you're on the smartphone, you can do it right there. You just click the link that says K-Files. But if you're on your cell phone or if you're on the radio, you need to get to a computer. Go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Click on that. It only asks you for your email address. That's all it asks you for. And then you click Submit. And then you will get an email automatically that has a link in it that you have to click in order to activate your subscription. So be sure you do that. When you do, you'll begin to receive the K-Files each and every week. Members, have you checked your message box today? You should. You should check your message box every day. It's where we send all of the important inside information that members are privy to. And so there's some in there. You need to make sure you've checked it for today. And let me say, if you're not a member, you need to be. Why? Well, because then you can enjoy all the great stuff that's in the members area. You get to watch the show. If you miss the show, if you miss it live, the video of the show that we're doing right now goes up after the show. It goes up online. It's up there for 24 hours. So if you happen to miss a show live, you can still catch it for the next 24 hours. And then there's our archives. And those are all audio files. But you can go back several years and listen to all these shows that we've done with all these great guests. Then there's forums and there's chat and you have your own blog and you have your own photo gallery. And in the new members community coming up, you'll have your own video gallery where you can upload video clips. So there's really no reason for you not to be a member. It's only 23 cents a day if you join right now. $6.95 a month. We'll be back with Open Line Live right after this. Well, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And as I said, tonight is going to be Open Line Live. I do have some things to throw on the table first. Very interesting, weird stuff happening in the news. Here in the United States of America, probably one of the biggest issues that people talk about, and we have several, but one of the biggest is what really happened on 9/11. And there are all kinds of conspiracy theories out there. We can say it's not conspiratorial, and we can say that it is a fact, just as we can with the Warren Commission, that the report from the 9/11 Commission is excessively and, I think, fatally flawed. I mean, they admit that there is evidence they didn't even consider. Well, how can you do an investigation if you don't even consider things that are evidence? That's, you know, it was bad science. It was absolutely Keystone Cops investigation. And because they simply refused to consider some evidence. One of the big mysteries has always been, well, the whole thing's a mystery, but one of the big mysteries has always been this plane that allegedly struck the Pentagon, traveling at close to 500 miles per hour, and hit it at ground level, coming in on its belly without skid marks across the lawn, when pilots, professional pilots who fly that airplane, that type of airplane, say you couldn't fly it that low at 500 miles per hour. You couldn't do it. Could not be done. It's always been a mystery, also because plane has wings on it, and when it hit the building, the wings should have smashed right into the building. If it's coming in at ground level, it's just coming in and smashing the side of the building head on. The wings ought to hit the building. And then if they're disintegrated, they're disintegrated. But if they hit the building at 500 miles an hour, there's going to be some pretty definite slap marks on the building where those wings hit, and there aren't any. Now, there may be, and I'm going to be honest about this and fair, there may be an explanation that is a scientifically viable and plausible explanation for why the wings made no marks on the building. And there are all kinds of other things about that, and we're not going to get into that, but here's what we are going to get into. There is a video that has rocked the internet. The video, as far as I know, it just came out this week, and it is alleged to be a leaked video showing a missile hitting the Pentagon. And I've been getting email all week from you folks wanting to know, well, what do I think about it? And my comment so far has been, oops. And some people have read all kinds of things into that. Well, we're going to discuss that video, okay? Let me show you a piece of the video on the TV channel. I'll describe it for everyone else. This is obviously taken from the vantage point of an airplane in flight. And we see the Pentagon, and we see what appears to be something, certainly not an airplane, moving in really fast and striking the Pentagon, striking the side of the Pentagon at the point where something actually did impact the Pentagon. Now, the something is what is all up for debate. Some people believe that it was the airplane. Some people think it's the missile. Now, people have been asking me, what do you think about this? And do you think it's real or do you think it's a hoax? And I have to tell you, I simply do not have the expertise to know whether this is real or whether it's a hoax. But if it is real, if it's real, it means there was an airplane flying over the Pentagon, and I mean it's right near the Pentagon. There was some kind of aircraft, either an airplane or perhaps a helicopter, flying over the Pentagon, and it videotaped or filmed the impact. So the question then would have to be, wouldn't it? The question would have to be, what other aircraft were in the area? And there ought to be some radar tracing somewhere. There was obviously, if this is real, there was obviously an aircraft right over the Pentagon and approaching the area where the missile struck. And so, you know, is it real? I don't know. It is interesting. Very, very interesting. And in this video, we can see some photographs of the hole in the side of the Pentagon at ground level where something struck the Pentagon and went through that wall and inside and exploded. You know, the Pentagon is A, B, C, and D ring, I believe. It's a complex of buildings built in concentric rings, only they're not round. They're shaped like a Pentagon. And it went through A, B, and I think it made it to C. It made it almost to the inner circle there. So, you know, did an airplane do it? I certainly have my doubts about that, although I have received some communication from AJ Ensor on my Facebook page, where he explains how it could be and why he thinks it is damage from an airplane. And his explanation is plausible, you know. But it's, again, the big problem I have with it is, where are the slap marks, the scars on the sides of that hole where the wings would have hit the building? If the wings were pulverized by the impact, they could only be pulverized if they were impacting something. And so when they hit that building, when they smashed head on into that building, there ought to be some scars on the building, some lines on that building, either side of that hole, and the hole doesn't appear to be big enough either. Okay, we've got something else we're going to move to, and that is Comet Elenine. Now, Comet Elenine is something that a lot of people have been telling us a lot of gloom and doom about Comet Elenine. And, you know, it's been a little bit scary for some folks. I have said that, you know, I don't really know. I don't think that Elenine is going to be, you know, an earthbuster. But that possibly there could be some disturbance of some forces, you know, passing that close to the Earth. I don't know. But we've had guests on that have told us it's going to be really tough. We've had guests on that have said it's going to be nothing. We've had guests on that have said, well, you know, the main problem is it might give off a really strong electrical discharge toward the Earth. And so we've had all kinds of things said about Elenine. But apparently, Comet Elenine is disintegrating. And those who are watching our TV channel can see a photograph of Comet Elenine taken on August the 19th, where it's really big and bright. 10 days later, August the 29th, Comet Elenine is back to just kind of a blurry, fuzzy spot in the sky. So what does that mean? Well, according to the article over at spaceweather.com, it means that Elenine is disintegrating. And if it is disintegrating, then of course, people who were worried about doomsday as related to Comet Elenine can have a sigh and get a deep breath and feel relieved because Elenine is, according to this article over at spaceweather.com, disintegrating. Another thing that's pretty interesting that's happening as I speak has to do with the International Space Station. Now, the International Space Station has a crew on board. It's manned 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's not a time when there is no crew on board the International Space Station. But NASA has announced that they may have to de-man the space station and put it into unmanned command mode in November, temporarily. Now, the reason for that is because of some difficulties that the Russian space agency, Roscosmos, has encountered with the Soyuz and its launch vehicle. The Soyuz space vehicle is actually one of the safest space vehicles ever devised. It has flown for more years and more missions successfully than any other spacecraft. The problem is the rocket that it rides up into space, apparently. They sent a satellite up into space on the same type of rocket. And lost it. And they lost it because of problems in the second stage of that rocket. And whatever the problem was, it put the satellite in a different orbit than it was supposed to be in. And it took a while to find it. They finally found it. Now, they just tried to send up a supply ship to the International Space Station. And again, the second stage, there was a problem, and this time it crashed. And so NASA is saying the September 22nd flight that was already scheduled has been scrubbed. And NASA is saying, you know, we're just not going to send any people up right now. And we're waiting for the Russian Space Agency to investigate and fix whatever that problem is. And so that flight may not happen. And if it doesn't happen for a couple of reasons, a couple of other things could trigger a decision to deman the space station in November. And it would have to fly unmanned for a while. Well, here is the very first example of why they should not have killed the shuttle. Came pretty quick, didn't it? Here's the first example of why would you kill the shuttle program when you don't have a replacement? It made no sense. I'm sure it made sense in Washington, D.C., but almost everything left-handed and bent makes sense in Washington, D.C. But it made no logical sense to kill the shuttle program. But here we are now, hitchhiking, and we have no way to get there ourselves. And so we may have to unman the International Space Station for a while, until Russia can get its rockets fixed. Good planning, NASA. All right. Weird news coming up. Weird, weird news. You know who Napoleon Bonaparte is, right? Was. You know who he was, right? Little bitty guy made a huge dent in world history. Well, there's a story on the internet now. Weekly World News is the originator of the story. And Weekly World News published this article saying that there was a doctor in France who was doing, I think, some DNA work. Anyway, he was working with the skull of Napoleon Bonaparte. And he discovered, embedded in the bone of the skull on the inside, a microchip. Now, this doctor is, as reported in this article, is a Dr. Dubois. And it says it was reported in a French medical journal. I've been getting email about this one, too. This article goes on to say that, it talks about aliens being here and that perhaps he was an abductee, and maybe that's why he was able to come up with such great military strategies that were 100 years ahead of their time. And maybe that's the case. I mean, it could be. Anything is possible. But I've been getting a lot of emails about this, people wanting to know, hey, do you think this is real or do you think this is a hoax? Well, it is in the Weekly World News. And that's sort of the internet equivalent of the National Enquirer. However, Weekly World News does print some stuff, publish some stuff from time to time that's right on target. Just like the National Enquirer sometimes prints something that's right on target. I don't think you can just throw it out and say there's nothing to this simply because it originated at Weekly World News. I don't think you can do that. That wouldn't be smart because it might be true. But that fact alone should make you raise one eyebrow and say, Napoleon has a big tomb inside a cathedral, a chapel. It would be sort of a national treasure, kind of a little bit of a national icon. It would make sense to me that the French government, for security reasons, might implant an RFID chip in various parts of that skeleton, just on the off chance somebody might decide to break in, steal the remains of Napoleon, and hold them for ransom. You think that's crazy, right? Nobody would do that. Well, they tried it with the body of Abraham Lincoln. They sure did. I have some more comments on that when we come back. We'll be back right after this.
Member area since 2009. I really enjoy the fact that I have access to the Cape Pods that are archived. I download them to my computer, put them on my MP3 player, and I can listen to them at my leisure on my long commute to and from work. I'd really like to see you in our community. It's only $6.95 per month, and it is worth far, far more. I sincerely hope you will join today.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and it's Open Line Live tonight. I'm talking at the moment about Napoleon and this very weird story out there that there is a microchip that was found embedded in the skull of Napoleon Bonaparte by Dr. Dubois, who was doing some examination of it and I think maybe some DNA testing or something. It would not surprise me if the French government had tagged various parts of Napoleon's remains, maybe all of them, with RFID chips. However, this article says Dr. Dubois thinks that this implant had had been put into Napoleon when he was a child because the bone of the skull had grown around it. So maybe it was not put there by the French government. Maybe it is an alien implant. Certainly, if this was in Napoleon during his lifetime, while he was living, certainly it would have to be alien because we didn't have microchips like that. We didn't have those until about 20 years ago. But then the story about finding the chip in his skull, just the story about finding the chip is suspect. It might be true, but it's not something I would want to jump on the bandwagon with just yet. It could be true. Now, the thing that I do want to caution against is the idea that, well, obviously it's not true because we didn't have microchips at that time. See, Napoleon's body was moved from Helena to France in 1840. In 1840 and before, we did not have microchips. We didn't have micro nothing. But that idea that, well, obviously it has to be a hoax because microchips did not exist until recently, that's the same kind of stuff that standard establishment archaeologists do when they say, well, obviously the pyramids had to have been built by humans because there was nobody else here. Well, that's dumb. I mean, you weren't, if you're one of those establishment archaeologists, you weren't here, so how do you know who was here? You weren't here then, so how do you know who else was here? You don't know who else was here. There could have been aliens here, and there could have been aliens who implanted a microchip into Napoleon's head. So, you know, on the one hand, I'm a little suspicious of this story, but it isn't because we didn't have microchips. It's because of the source of the story. It tells us that this information was published in a French medical journal, but doesn't tell us which one, doesn't give us the name of it. That's suspicious. This one goes into the very dark gray basket. You know, I have a gray basket, but this one goes into the very dark gray basket. It could be true, but I suspect it is not. Four big, big stories hitting our genre. We've talked about each of them just a little bit, and I want to give you the opportunity to talk about whatever you want to talk about within our genre. It is Open Line Live. It is, that means it is also BYOT night. That's Bring Your Own Topic. The telephone number that will transport you right here to the studio. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Also, if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada and you don't want to make the international long-distance call, you can send us a flash message by going to my website, scroll down till you see the picture about tonight's show, and right above it is a link that says flash message. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jerome.
Hi. I want to talk about the video about the plane crashing into the Pentagon.
Yeah.
You know, if you drive into any Walmart parking lot anywhere across the United States, and up on the building, there's 10 in the 30 cameras on the building.
Yeah.
I would imagine the Pentagon has, you know, security cameras there.
Uh-huh.
Now what I would say is, if an airplane really did crash into the Pentagon, the next day you would have seen on Fox News video footage of this airplane actually crashing into it. So I think that kind of screams volumes, you know what I mean, that they didn't actually come out and show, the Pentagon didn't actually come out and show a video of them getting attacked.
Well, I think that's a very good point. You can bet the Pentagon has the latest, greatest security system in existence. And that would include the latest, greatest, high-definition security cameras. I think you make a good point. And, it does scream volumes that we didn't see any of their security tape. But let me ask you about this video. What do you think about this? I mean, if it's for real, it's obviously taken from an aircraft that's flying above and near the Pentagon.
If it is real, okay, first of all, it doesn't look like an airplane crashing into it. And I personally feel that it's a cruise missile that actually did hit into the Pentagon. But if this video is real, I would have to, maybe an airplane pilot or somebody would know how close you can get to the Pentagon, you know what I mean, to actually film this. And if it was that close and it was a legal flight, it seems like it would almost be a military flight.
Well, that's what I was thinking is, and really the way this is shot, it kind of looks like maybe it was taken from a helicopter. I can't say that with any certainty, but it kind of has that appearance to me. And that would also make sense that perhaps there are sort of patrol flights of helicopters, that fly over and survey the ground from the air from time to time. I don't know. This video is obviously taken from the air, and it's not from on top of a building. You're in flight approaching the Pentagon and then flying right up the side of the Pentagon that got hit as it gets hit. So, I don't know, that's pretty mysterious to me.
Well, like I said, I still think that if it was the actual airplane that crashed into the Pentagon, they would have released the video of it right away just to prove their statement that it was, airplane that crashed in.
Well, I don't have any problem with what you're saying. I have no problem with it at all. It makes sense to me.
One other thing, Kevin. On that spaceship that was the supply ship that was that blew up going to the ISS.
Yeah.
Was it manned? Did they lose any people in that flight?
No, it was one of the one of those unmanned robotic flights. They send them up. It's just packed with supplies, is all, and the whole flight is robotic, and even the docking with the space station is all pre-programmed.
Well, the only thing I can say then is it's a good thing we got that Robo-Naut at the ISS.
Yeah. Maybe they can put him in charge of the ISS when everybody else has to boogie.
Well, thank you very much, Kevin.
All right, thanks for the call. Yeah, very curious stuff. 623-444-5889. Open line live tonight. Bring your own topic. We'll talk about whatever is on your mind within our genre. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Mike Kevin from Kentucky.
Hello, Mike.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. I have a couple, three different points I'd like to comment on.
All right.
That first one is, like Jerome was talking about, I monitored that situation back when it happened in 9/11. And the first thing that happened, apparently, was that the federal government went in and confiscated all of the videos from the surrounding area. The one on the bypass or the bridge that goes over over the road, they took those cameras. The service stations on the corners, they took those. And the only thing they really showed about anything hitting the Pentagon, you got to see what looked like the nose of something on a camera, and that's all they could show. And there was a lot of debate at that time, if you remember, over this. And
well, I'll tell you something else about that. In the film that they released, and you do get to see the nose, the explosion takes place on that video. The explosion next to the building, a big ball of fire, takes place before the nose of whatever it is comes into the picture.
Exactly. Like it was detonated.
Or CGI'd.
Yes, one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's the real debate. And I remember the NBC and CBS and all those news correspondents, they were kind of frustrated because they could not get any video, you know, and even they were concerned about what was going on with that.
What do you think about this video that's circulating now? I mean, it's obviously shot from the air. Do you think this is real?
I really don't know. As you know, I send that out too, but I'm not sure. This idea of this little missile, cruise missile, painted to look like one of those, you know, American Airlines planes, has been floating around on the internet for a couple of years or longer. But whether this is just something they staged,
Mike, you're going to have to hang on, bud. We have a break. But I'll come right back to you here as soon as this break is over. We'll be back. Back on the telephone with me is Mike from Kentucky. Mike, I had to cut you off in mid-sentence because the break was taking over, and I want to give you the opportunity to finish your thought.
Okay, yeah. You know, there was a lot going on there, and that one, we probably won't know the real thing that happened there. But going on to this Soviet rocket that exploded, this carrier rocket.
Uh-huh.
If you remember back about last March or April of this year, there was a rumor floating around that because of this 2012 thing, that by the end of May or the 1st of June of this year, NASA may vacate the space station because of the debris that was supposed to be coming in, and they would vacate it until about 2013 just in case some of this stuff was going on. Well, May came and June came and nothing occurred. Now, the next thing you know, they retired the space shuttle. And then the next thing is that this carrier rocket, supply cargo rocket, blows up. Now, whoa, wait a minute here. This is the most reliable rocket they've got, but all of a sudden they've had a couple of problems where their ships exploded. And now they're putting that on hold. And you know, remember, the United States space program, every time they had a major disaster, it was a minimum of 2 years before they ever fired it back up again. And so that would put it back into 2013 if the Soviets followed the same plan. So are we really seeing a deliberate program going on here to actually demand the space station, as the rumor was going on back in the early part of this year?
Well, I've been reading on various forums, and that seems to be what some people are thinking. Some people are thinking it is, you know, a deliberate plan to demand the space station. And it may be. It certainly, the timing of it is very, very curious. Very curious. And see, one of the questions, I've had some email exchanges with a couple of folks about this over the past two or three days. And past couple of days. And one of the things that one person said is, well, they have to send Soyuz up there to get the ones off of the space station that are there now. And the answer to that is no, they don't.
No.
There is a Soyuz craft at all times attached to the space station as an escape module.
In fact, there may be two of them there for all I know.
Yeah. So all they have to do is climb in that thing,
and
light a fire in its tail, and send that bird back home.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And those, they keep those things there just as a lifeboat.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it just seems strange to me that all this is going about. And if you remember also back around last May or June or July, early July, they were talking about crashing the ISS into the ocean by no later than 2020. And I brought up the idea of why not try to put some ion rockets on it and ease it out of Earth orbit and put it in orbit around the moon somewhere.
Yeah, I have my doubts as to whether that craft is built sturdy enough to make that trip. They do move it from time to time, but every time they move it, this is something a lot of people don't know, every time they boost it into a higher orbit, you know, because its orbit decays over time.
Yes,
so when
exactly.
They boost it back up into the orbit it's supposed to be in, they fire up the rockets that are for that. A big shudder vibration goes through the space station that they don't know why.
Well, I mean, look at the way it's constructed, and any movement would cause that ripple effect to take place in there, because it's really not that sturdy the way it's put together.
Yeah, and for that reason, it may not be able to make the trip out to the moon.
What have you got to lose?
Well, it beats crashing it into the ocean, I grant you that.
I guarantee you, and if nothing else, if they can move it out far enough that they can study the Van Allen radiation belt with the robotons, hey, that's another game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good point.
So as far as the Napoleon thing, I looked at the chip, and that looks too modern to me. Looks like something that we're putting in animals and maybe even humans today.
Well, now, if you're talking about the picture that was with the article.
Yeah.
I have that picture beside a picture of Napoleon on the TV screen right about now.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not supposed to be the chip. That's just a chip as an example for the article.
A recreation, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I looked at that, and I wasn't really that impressed with it. I mean, I won't say that it couldn't happen, but I wasn't that impressed with it.
Well, there's one historical account that I know of. There may be more, but one that I read that talks about Napoleon's ashes being returned to France. The others talk about his body being returned to France. And so there's some question about, you know, how did he get, in what state was he when he returned to France? Was he ashes or was it a body?
Right, right. I can't answer that. But, you know, when I was over in France back in 1994, we went to a place where they make all of this silverware, and I mean all this kit, this tableware for presidents and kings and queens. And in there, they had one of the tapestry that hung around Napoleon's room for to keep it cool in the summer and warm in the winter. And they were doing repair work on that over there. It was something to see, and it was a sort of a maroon colored. It was interesting, and we saw a lot of things when we were over there back then for 16 days.
Well, Mike, I appreciate the call, man. You make some good points.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. Have a great night.
All right, thank you. 623-444-5889. Got a lot of mysteries in the news right now. Lots of mystery in the news. And I'm sure you've got some thoughts about it, and we'd love for you to share them with us here at the Kevin Smith Show. It's Open Line Live. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Tony from Denver.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah, I'd like to comment on the Elohim and the missile.
Okay.
And also on the ISS. Could you hold me through the break if we make it to there?
I sure can, yeah.
All right, well, let me start out with the missile. I think it looks a lot like a missile hitting the Pentagon. And don't forget about April Gallup. She was the lady that worked at the Pentagon. And if I remember her story correctly, she climbed out through the hole and reported no airplane.
Well, now, when you say this looks like a missile, I grant you, this video looks like a missile hitting the Pentagon. But the question is this video for real? If it is for real, if this is not a hoax, it means there was an aircraft in the air above the Pentagon, in fact, approaching the Pentagon, and then flies right up the side of the Pentagon that gets hit.
Well, that's not exactly true, Kevin. Bill Burns has witnessed some sort of echelon program over Las Vegas before, and that's not really an airplane. But it takes video all over.
Okay, well, yeah, it is an airplane. It may be unmanned.
Echelon is?
It may be unmanned, but it's in the air, right?
Yeah, I guess I understood it to be some sort of a platform or something floating in the air.
Well, if it is, it's still in the air. So you have an aircraft.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have an aircraft approaching the Pentagon. And, in fact, we have two different shots in this. We have one shot from a long ways away showing the side of that building being hit, and we have one shot flying right up the side of the building as it's hit. We have a break taking over. I'll get back to you right after this break. All right, folks, we'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and it's Open Line Live tonight. That means that we want to hear from you, and right now we're talking with Tony from Colorado. We were saying, Tony, that the view of this video gives us actually two different camera views. One camera view is looking right from a long ways away, looking straight on to the wall that got hit. And we see the flash as it gets hit. We see the explosion. Okay. The other view is from some type of aircraft flying above the Pentagon, and it flies right up the side of the building. And, in fact, there we go, right up the side of the building, and as it's being hit. And so it's... There's two different cameras involved here, and both of these are shot from some kind of aircraft, something in the air.
could be a satellite as well.
It might be, but the angle of this, I don't think so.
Well, Kevin, I wanted to talk about Obama's plan to evacuate the International Space Station by late November.
I'm not sure that's Obama's plan. That's NASA's plan.
Well, under President Bush, NASA was planning to go back to the moon. They weren't planning on abandoning nothing.
Yeah, but if the story is, if the story about why they may abandon the International Space Station has to do with transport rockets not being able to fly, then that's something that would have happened if Bush was president, if Obama's president, or, you know, if Bugs Bunny was president.
Yeah, but Bush was planning on having those new, like a remake of the Apollo, what were they called? The
Constellation.
Constellation program, that's right, yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wasn't planning on cutting and running from space.
Well, I grant you that, and I disagree with the policy that was set under the Obama administration, the policy that we're not going to go back to the moon. I disagree with that. I don't think that's smart. But on the other hand, this thing with the space station, if the story about why they may be abandoning it, if that story is true, in other words, if there's nothing related to 2012, if it's truly just because the Russians are having trouble with their rockets, that would happen regardless of who the president might be. If you had Bugs Bunny as president, that would still be a decision they would have to make. If they can't resupply the thing, then they have to get the people off of it till they can resupply it.
Well, Kevin, this makes me wonder who wants to see more humans in space living and working there proficiently, and who wants to see humans abandon space and remain confined to the surface of the Earth. And those people who say we can't afford manned exploration of space until we eliminate poverty and hunger throughout the world, just who have their views been influenced by? Such thoughts are the stuff of cosmic conspiracy theories. It's been over 50 years since.
I agree with what you're saying about the idea that we cannot afford. Look, NASA gets $39 billion now is what they get total. Okay, and the bankers got what, a trillion? Yeah, so you know, I don't buy the idea that we cannot afford a space program. The fact is, we can afford the space program if we can afford the bankers. If we can afford to buy GM, which we did. As a lot of people don't know this, GM became Government Motors. If we can afford to do that, we can afford a space program. And, you know, there's something else at work. There's something else going on, something else behind the scenes as to why we have such a limited space program. And it is. It's very limited. If you fund the space program properly, we would already have livable colonies on several planets.
Yeah, well, somebody doesn't want us in space.
Mm-hmm.
Before you let me go about that comet Elamine.
Yeah.
You said it was disintegrated, and I wanted to see what you think about maybe the same space-based weapons platforms that turned the Twin Towers into dust might have been used to disintegrate that comet.
Could be. It is, you know, spaceweather.com is reporting that the comet is disintegrating.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may be true. It is diminishing in brightness. We can see that from the picture. We don't know why it got bright to start with, do we?
Nope.
And, you know, maybe somebody turned the lights off. And I say that tongue-in-cheek because I'm not suggesting that it is an inhabited spacecraft. But the point is, we don't know why it got bright to start with. That was a big surprise to them. And therefore, it has now gone back to about what it was before it got real bright, and they're saying it's disintegrating. Maybe not. Maybe it's going to get bright again when it gets closer. We don't know what's going on with this comet.
Well, there's nothing wrong with thinking like that, Kevin. I think the moon's an inhabited spacecraft.
Could be. There's quite a number of people, including some fairly noted scientists, that say that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for taking my call, Kevin.
All right. Hey, you
great
guys in Denver, you just had a meeting with Jerry Wills, didn't you?
Yeah, he's a very good dinner guest. And, man, all the stuff you've ever said about him, more true than anyone would believe.
Yeah.
And bringing up that, Kevin, I would like to use this opportunity to encourage everyone to come to Boulder on the 16th and the 17th.
Mm-hmm.
He's having a conference here.
Okay.
And so if everyone will show up, I'll be there. I'll meet everyone that comes.
All right. Was he as tall as I said he is?
No. He said you were short.
He is tall. He is tall. But he's a great guy, and long before Jerry ever told me his story of his origins, I had told my producer, and I knew nothing of Jerry's story. I told the producer, I said, you know, if I ever met someone that I think is an extraterrestrial, it's going to be Jerry Wills. And I think his story is probably right on target.
Well, geez, if you meet him in person, he'll tell you even more stories.
Well, that's true. That is true. All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right. 623-444-5889. What's on your mind about these topics or something else that's in our genre? It's BYOT. Bring your own topic. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is James from Texas.
Well, hello, James. What's on your mind this evening?
Talking about Napoleon, there are several things that are very unusual about him and what happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know that he would ride up and down the line on his horse, encouraging his men, both mounted and infantry, well within range of snipers, yet he never got hit.
That's right.
He spent overnight in the Great Pyramid when he was on campaign in Egypt. The next morning he came out, he was visually shaken. The first thing he did was order his cannon there to fire on the Sphinx, knocking off its nose. The next thing he did is he got a contingent and went to the Valley of the Kings and, without any trouble at all, found a sealed tomb of Hammurabi. In that tomb, he found a 15-foot pillar of solid electrum and tried to drag it back to France. It didn't make it, though.
Uh-huh. Did he ever give any explanation as to why he had his cannon fire on the Sphinx?
No. No. Not, well, there's no historical record of him explaining that.
He did a lot of things he didn't explain, didn't he?
Well, he may have known that wasn't the original face on the Sphinx to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Whose face do you think was the original?
A cat. Yep.
Okay, so in other words, a big lion sitting there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was a strange guy. You know, I read somewhere, and James, You know me. I read things and I know them absolutely for about 2 days, and then they start fading, and because I read some more, and I just move from topic to topic.
Bad.
But I read this somewhere that in one of his campaigns, they did see UFOs.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the details, but apparently there was some significant UFO sighting during one of his campaigns. And, well, what do you think about this microchip in his head? Do you think that's a real story?
I'd be very interested in knowing what part of his skull they found it and exactly what it looked like. I don't expect them to be honest or forthcoming about much of the details, because all of this is scrutinized by the powers that be, the same kind of people that could exert influence on Hawass when he was director of antiquities. So I'd be very surprised if we have the straight, as they say in the Navy, the straight skinny on this.
Yeah, I'm suspicious of the story itself. I mean, this may be real, but you know, if this is a real story, I don't understand when they reported it. Why did they just say, they said that this was reported by Dr. Dubois in a French medical journal? Why don't they give us the name of that journal if this is for real?
Yeah.
So
indeed.
I find Dubois to be dubious here.
Well, when I see a well-known archaeologist writing an article about it for peer review, I'll be impressed.
Yeah, or just tell us the name of that French medical journal. Then we can go look it up and see what was published.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So, again, this may be absolutely true. It could be. The possibility is there. But there are certain little signals that you get from stories sometimes, and one of them is referring me to something that you will not tell me what it is. So you refer me, use that for credibility.
Or just putting it in a footnote.
Yeah. I think it's a dubious story, but there is the chance, just the chance, that it's real. And I would, here's why I say that, folks. The very first people on the planet to publish the pictures of the face on Mars and run the story was the tabloids.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it really is there. A lot of people thought, oh, yeah, right, because it was in the tabloids. But it really is there. So sometimes these types of publications are right on target, and you just have to kind of raise an eyebrow and say, well, okay, maybe, until we have further evidence. But, you know, let's say, for example, that this story is correct and that chip was embedded in the skull and that Dubois actually exists and is a medical doctor or a scientist of some kind, and that the story about the bone of the skull having grown around this chip, therefore it was likely embedded when he was very young. If all of that's true, then we are talking about alien technology.
Or maybe there was somebody in the Great Pyramid with him.
Yeah, but whoever it was not human technology at that point in history.
No.
Yeah. And that may be why he was really shaken and ticked off when he came out of that pyramid. Could be.
Yeah.
It could be. James, thank you for the call.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Bye-bye. 623-444-5889. Open line live. If you're calling from east of the Rockies or west of the Rockies or even on top of the Rockies, it's 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Boomer calling from Lady Smith, British Columbia.
Well, hello, Boomer. It's been, three or four years since you've called me.
Probably 3 or 4 months.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine, except for my allergies.
Yeah, I know that feeling. Hey, Kev, I think it was on the 28th, on the Stereo B satellite, there is a video of Elenin going close to the sun, where they have a CME going on, and believe it or not, there's a tetrahedron force field, getting excited, and actually, you can actually see it in the video. It's up on YouTube, and
would you send me the link to that?
It's up there on a NASA video 2C.
Okay, can you send me the link to that? All you have to do is just copy the link out of your browser.
I'm not that savvy with a computer.
Well, all you do is...
It's up on YouTube.
Okay, listen, I'm going to tell you how you do it, okay? Here's how you do it.
And...
Boomer, listen, here's how you do it. You simply put your cursor up in the browser when you're on that video. Put it in the browser up at the top where it has HTTP and then it has the link.
Okay.
Left click, then right click, because that'll highlight it, then right click and copy. And then you just paste that into an email.
Okay, and also, I believe it's the USC in California, the radio telescope. There's another video on YouTube where they've actually recorded a signal coming from it. I know the Stereo B video is true, but if this RF frequency is actually a true video coming from it, man, we're in for something pretty unreal.
I think it's exciting. But copy those links and just paste them into an email and send it to me, and I'll take a look at those. I really want to see them.
Yeah, well, they're absolutely incredible, especially this force field around Ellen in there.
Okay.
It's amazing.
All right. Well, I think it's fascinating. I think everything about Ellen is fascinating to me. And the reason is because such a little bitty comet, and it is little, has created such uproar and such a stir, and that phenomena by itself fascinates me.
This is a nothing comet. There is something very important about Ellen for some reason, and when you see that video of that force field being excited by that coronal mass ejection, wow, that's a breaking news right there.
So you think, describe for us, this force field is between the sun and Ellenine?
Well, Ellenine is in the video, Ellenine is going by the sun, within reason, mm-hmm. And the CME blows out, and just like watching Star Trek, when they're getting shot at, and that's when you see the force field, get excited from the shot.
Mm-hmm.
It's identical on Ellenin.
Hmm.
And it's a tetrahedron, like what Richard C. Hoagland talks about, that sacred geometry stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right, man, I want to see it. So if you'll send that to me, I will put those links, as soon as I get them, I'll put them into this next issue of K-Files.
It will blow your mind, my friend. Thanks, Kev.
All right, thank you. I am prepared to have my mind blown, although I don't want to disappoint you. It will be a small explosion. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. It's BYOT night. Bring your own topic. It is open line. You have the opportunity to call in and talk about whatever is on your mind within our genre. It doesn't matter where you live on this planet. That telephone number will work. 623-444-5889. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Francois from Montreal.
Hello, Francois.
I'm going to put the volume up a little bit. Okay. I like to share of my strange story again.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. You remember, like, you were, like... talking about an anecdote about your producer's cat, you know, and all the he's intelligent and whatever.
He is, yeah. He's got an attitude, too.
Okay. So, you know, like 2 weeks ago, I was, like, in the middle of the afternoon, I was feeling, like, to take a little nap. And then I closed my eyes, and I saw, like, the face of a tiger. It was, like, black on a silver black background. And it woke me up. It was strange, you know. Then I go back to sleep, and your voice is hacking. I can't not hear you, but I'm going to keep on speaking. Then I go back to sleep. And there was like it was like real, you know, like it was like still black on the black on silver, and there were like a female lion or a puma, you know, like lying down around me, and then it morphed into like a humanoid shape, like of a female, you know, a lioness werewolf. And then it was like it lasted for about 10 seconds, and it was keeping on morphing. You know, it goes from a lion shape to a humanoid lion, and then it turned into like some kind of a werewolf, and then in turned into something like, you know, like those Egyptian statue, like with the jackal god.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
mm-hmm.
With the long nose, and then it came back to a more feeling morph, and then I woke up because it was too strange, and my cat jumped out of the closet and came right to me and put his paw on my tight.
All right, you hang on, because I want to get the rest of that story, but we have to step away for a break right at this moment. So, ladies and gentlemen, do not go away. We'll be back.
In Connecticut, and you're listening to the Kevin Smith Show.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are in Open Line Live, Bring Your Own Topic, and we're talking with Francois from Canada. And Francois, when we had to go away for break, you just told us about this very strange dream you had, and then when it was all over and you woke up, your cat came out of the closet, and you just started to tell us what the cat did, and we had to go to break.
Yeah, well, that's about it for my story, you know, like the strange thing is like right after that kind of dream, you know, like the cat did that, you know.
Okay, and, so what did your cat do?
Another time, you know, around this past Christmas, I was like channeling with an E.T. named herself Carla.
Okay, hang on just a second. Hang on. We didn't catch what it is that your cat did. Your cat came out of the closet and did what?
She just put her paw on my tight, you know, like saying, like, you know, like what you saw, it's me, you know, or whatever that is the feeling I got.
Uh huh. Okay, and then
Around Christmas, I was like, chatting on my private channel with an ET named Carla, who I call a felinoid. You know, because they look like cats and they have like long claws instead of fingers, and you know, like the conversation was like just about like how lame it is to do all the dirty work, you know, while their chief are having fun, and I asked her where she was, and she said like I'm right beside you, and I took a look, and my cat was looking at me. You know, maybe I have a telepathic cat.
You may. And in fact, you may have an extraterrestrial cat. That's something to consider. Francois, thank you for the call. Very interesting, as always. Yeah, cats are weird, but sometimes, when I say weird, I mean, you know, they just have some strange ways sometimes. But sometimes they seem like they understand what you say. And of course, dogs do too, and horses do too, but they're curious animals. They sure are. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And it is Open Line Live. What do you think about these stories that I've brought to the table tonight? Or if you don't want to talk about that, we'll talk about whatever it is that's on your mind. During the break, I downloaded a couple of flash messages here. We've got one from Lynn in Singapore. Hi, Kevin. When I first saw the video of the missile hitting the Pentagon, I thought it was real. But as you said, this video is taken from an airplane. Weren't all the planes grounded by that time? Two things I need to say about that, Lynn. You know, I may have said, I don't remember, I might have said this was taken from an airplane. But that would not be accurate. We can't tell that. We can't see any wings on the craft. And that's one reason I said it may be a helicopter, but it could be something else. However, it is taken from the air. Alright? It is taken from the air. And then your question, weren't all the planes grounded by that time? You know, I don't know. The whole 911 truth movement and conspiracy theories, and there are many theories, is not something that I have delved into a lot. I don't need to delve into it a lot to see that when the 911 Commission has admitted that there is evidence they never even considered, when they've admitted that, I don't need to read the report. I mean, I'm an investigator, and I'm a darn good investigator. And when you tell me, well, I didn't even consider this or that evidence. Whatever you came up with is not trustworthy. Even if you somehow got to the correct conclusion, there's no way to know that. There's no way to know if your conclusion is correct or if it's in error, if there is evidence you refuse to look at. There was one case that I investigated when I was a deputy sheriff in which all of the evidence pointed to a particular suspect. I mean, this was a strong case. But there was just something about it that didn't feel right. Now, you might say that's not scientific. Yeah, I know that. And every cop has those. They're called hunches. something about it. I mean, all the evidence pointed to this guy, but something about it that I couldn't define just didn't seem right. So, and this was a young person, and so I had a talk with both him and his mother, and I said, I'm going to give this 24 hours, and I'm not going to make the arrest right now. I'm going to give it 24 hours, but I have to be honest with you, I think at this time tomorrow I will be arresting you. Ladies and gentlemen, a piece of evidence that we did not even know existed popped up in that 24 hours and completely changed the picture. And it wasn't him. It was someone else. That can happen. And when you tell me right on the front end that you didn't even consider evidence that you knew existed, then whatever conclusion you came to is not valid. Period. That's the end of that discussion. It's not valid. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Milton from San Diego.
Hello, Milton. What's on your mind this evening?
Well, boy, Kevin, I've changed my mind over the course of your show. I've always been a believer in that airplane hitting. I guess I'm now left with, I really don't know don't believe anything right now after seeing some of the evidence on there that your callers have brought on.
See, I'm ambivalent about it. I don't know which way to go on it. And the reason I don't is, we got some real problems here. Let's say that the video that we're talking about tonight that shows what it's apparently a missile hitting the Pentagon. Let's say that's real. Who fired it? Where did it come from? And even more important than that, where's that plane load of people and what happened to them?
Yeah, there's a favorite movie I think it was Millennium with that had this, entire airplane disappear. And I mean, you could think crazy stuff like that, but
if this video is real, then that means somebody intentionally did something to that airplane and those people. And that's a mind blow.
I'm a big fan of Barbara Olson. She's not here anymore,
Mm-hmm.
We got to deal with that. There's people that we know of that are not here no more.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that day, and I watched a lot. I remember seeing many eyewitness accounts saying that they saw an airplane.
Yeah.
And that's why I've always believed it. And I hate when I was an eyewitness to a UFO when I was young, and I hate when people just look at me and when I describe something, I saw it about 30 yards, and they look at me and just say, well, that's what you believe. And I think some of all these conspiracy theories are like, it's almost the same thing.
Mm-hmm. That's why this is so hard. See, I'm a big proponent of this. When you see a cow, nobody is ever going to be able to convince you that it was a Cadillac. Okay? It's a cow. Right, I'm a big proponent of people know what they see. And there are witnesses that say they saw an airplane.
And I remember those clearly, and that is when I made my decision to believe that it was an airplane, that on that day.
Mm-hmm. I would still like to know this, though. If it was an airplane, and I sort of tilt that direction a little bit more than the other direction, but it's just a very slight tilt. If it was an airplane, where are the scars on the building from the wings hitting it as it started through that hole? The nose of the plane makes the hole.
Yeah, that's...
Where's the scars of the wings?
They're aluminum. They're very lightweight, and...
And they're full of fuel.
That's what I've always believed, but who knows? You're right. No, there are no scars. You're right. There were no real scars.
Well, and they're full of fuel, and so on impact, there's going to be an explosion. We ought to see scorch marks on that concrete.
And I am a little perturbed today by finding out there is no footage of the darn airplane from a, like what some of your callers said, that is crazy. Why don't they just release it if there's mm-hmm. no problem? So.
Yeah. So I think there's...
Hey, I got to ask you one more thing. I haven't heard... I've been listening to you for many years, and I haven't heard the... that case, that UFO sighting when you were working in Texas. Have you replayed that lately?
It's when I was in Louisiana.
Oh, it was in Louisiana.
Yeah. I think I know what you're talking about. What that is...
That was one of... You played that a couple times years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I remember listening.
Yeah. Yeah, and usually I play that on Christmas Eve because that's when it happened.
Oh, okay. I'll be sure to listen again.
Yeah, it's absolutely phenomenal UFO sighting that went on for several hours, and deputies and the hundreds and hundreds of people in the public. Deputies both in Ouachita Parish and I can't even remember the name. I think it's Wynn Parish, or maybe it's Jackson Parish, right south of there. Deputies in both parishes saw this, and up close and personal. And we even had one deputy that was so amazed as it flew over him just above treetop level, gigantic thing. He was watching that. And drove off the road into a yard.
I didn't hear that before. That's great.
Yeah.
No, that is one of the most interesting radio broadcasts that I ever heard on your show years ago.
Well, we'll do it again. Probably, if we do it this year, it's going to be it'll be on Christmas Eve.
All right.
Because
well,
that's
hey,
when it happens.
Keep up the good work.
All right, Milton. Thanks.
All right.
Bye bye. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. What's on your mind this evening? It is Open Line Live. It is BYOT. That means you can bring your own topic. If you don't like what I'm talking about, by golly, bring your own. And we'll talk about it, as long as it's within our genre. That means, you know, we're not going to talk about baking cakes or repairing your roof or something like that. But within our genre, anything you want to talk about. We have another flash message, this one from France, from Marcy. I have not heard any about the microchip Napoleon in France news. Maybe it is a story not true. Marcy, I think you're right. Maybe it is a story not true. I have to keep an open mind. I have to say possibly it's true. Possibly. I don't have anything definitive yet that says it's not true. Maybe it's true. But I think you're on the right track, Marcy. All right. We will be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and it is Open Line Live. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. The allergies, they're great. They're wonderful. They visit me every year at this time. 623-444-5889, and we'll talk about whatever's on your mind. We have time for... Oh, one or two more calls if you call right now. If you get into the last 4 or 5 minutes of the show and call me, we probably won't have time to take it. So you've been sitting there thinking, I'm going to call. No, I'm afraid. I'm scared. Well, now's the time to get over it. Push these numbers into the little thing called a telephone, 623-444-5889. It's a magical device. It will transport you magically right here to the studio, and we'll talk about whatever is on your mind. Yeah, you know, I guess the biggest topic that I brought up tonight is 911 and this video. But all of these are important topics. All of them are interesting, and we don't even have to talk about them. We can talk about whatever's on your mind. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. This is Debbie from Columbus.
Hello, Debbie.
Hi. Have you heard or read about the one of the causes that they were thinking for the quake on the East Coast was last week?
Well, yeah, we actually did a show on the possibility of it being either a nuclear blast deep underground or a some type of earthquake technology. I had Walter Bosley on. We talked about the plausibility of that. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
In your opinion, what do you think really caused it? Do you think it was an actual earthquake, or do you think maybe it was an underground nuclear detonation?
I don't know. And, you know, the reason I don't know is I am certainly not an expert in those types of sciences. I do know that it was reported, even on mainstream media, it was reported that the one in Virginia is not on a fault line. But I did some research and found out it is. It's on the Spotsylvania fault line. So it is on a fault line. But it's a very, very old and inactive fault line. However, that doesn't mean that it couldn't go active and cause an earthquake. So, you know, I really don't know what to think about that. I do know that the report that it was a nuclear blast came from Sorsha Fall. And Sorsha Fall is notoriously sensationalistic, propagandistic, but sometimes hits it right on target. It's kind of like the report tonight about the microchip being found in Napoleon's skull. Because of the source of that information, I have to raise an eyebrow and say, maybe, but maybe not. And when it comes from Sorsha Fall, I raise both eyebrows. And, however, I give credit where credit's due. Sometimes the Sorsha Fall information is right on target. It's rare, but it does happen. Is it plausible that it, I mean, just the possibility of there being a nuclear blast underground like that in the tunnels that the government has underground. Is that possible?
Right.
Is it even plausible that it could be possible? According to Walter Bosley, he says, sure, it's plausible.
Well, I think it could be because, I mean, you know, we've had underground testing at White Sands, so, you know, in Alamogordo, so I don't see why it might not have been possible for that to be happening here, too. At least here in Ohio, in Columbus, my friend said that he felt like, you know, the earth shake a little bit. Where we live at, we're kind of, you know, sort of north-northwest of the city. I'm city center. I didn't feel anything. I talked to other friends. Some of them said that they felt, you know, like the ground tremble a little bit. Still other friends of mine said that they didn't feel anything. So, you know, I mean, I don't know what to make of it. I mean, I'm like you. I don't really know what caused it. I mean, it's possible that it could be a nuclear weapon that was detonated underground. That's possible. In tubes. I mean, we're having, you know, we have HARP. We have chemtrails. We have, you know, Morgellons disease coming. We have all these different things happening. And so to not believe that it could possibly happen, that's kind of like, you know, sticking your head in the sand and basically saying, well, I'm not going to pay attention to all these unusual things that are now happening around me. I mean, they're happening, so there has to be some kind of an explanation for them. Am I going to be a conspiracy theorist and think that everything that happens that might be out of the norm is possibly due to the Illuminati or to whatever? Not really, because if I feel it, if my psychic abilities feel it, well, then I know it's true. But with this, with the earthquake, I don't know. I'm not really getting, like, you know, my clairsentience isn't really kicking in and telling me, well, yeah, there was a nuclear device that was detonated underground in some kind of a, you know, a secret cavern or lava tube or what have you, and that's why I didn't feel it. So I don't know. I mean, I was just wanting to get your take on it to see what you thought about it.
Well, here's what I know about it. It happened. And I'm not being flippant. I'm explaining something. What I know is that earthquake happened, and one out in Colorado also happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I know the earthquakes happened. I know they were of similar intensity in both places. They were at similar depth. That we know.
Mm.
And it's weird. But beyond that, everything else is speculation.
Right.
There is one other thing I know, and that is that both of those locations are sitting on fault lines. So could it be natural? Yes, it could be.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else is speculation. Could it have been some type of nuclear device going off in a tunnel? Yeah, I suppose it could be. I mean, anything's possible. Could it be earthquake technology, where someone has excited a fault line? Well, yeah, it could be. We know for sure that that technology exists. We even have a former Secretary of Defense that said so, and said so in public. So, yeah,
right.
all of those options, you know, you know what I say. When we don't have all the data, every speculation is on the table, and every speculation is valid.
Mm-hmm. Right. But again, that means unless there is some kind of a specific validation, though, that those speculations can be considered, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they are valid or correct.
No, they are valid because they're valid because they are speculation. A speculation is like an opinion. An opinion is valid. That doesn't mean it's accurate. I have to run because we're at the end of the show, but Debbie, thank you so much for the call. All right, that's it. That's going to be a wrap for tonight. Tomorrow night, my guest is Freeman. Some of you have been requesting Freeman. Well, Freeman will be my guest tomorrow night. You want to be sure and be here, and if you're not a member, you want to be sure you join before tomorrow night. It's only 23 cents a day, $6.95 a month. You can lock that in for a whole year, $6.95 a month. When we open our new members community, it goes up to $7.50, and it'll be the best $7.50 you can spend on the Internet. All right, that's going to be it. My friends call me Steel-Eyed. My enemies do, too. And you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.